Jaya Gopi Janavallava Giri Vardhari Gopi Janavallava Giri Vardhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Pravishta Om Vishnupad Paramansa Parivrajaka Charya Astutara Satashishima Chilabai Chadnara Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Kija Om Magyanitimarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksun Militamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namene Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Dishatarine Vanchakapataruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adwaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gora Bhakta Vrindam He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you all so much for being here this evening. I wanted to say that Mahatma Prabhu gave a beautiful class this morning, and he made so many important points. One point that I thought was particularly important was that we can only try to approach or even try to understand Srimati Radharani through Srila Prabhupada, through our acharyas, through Rupa Goswami. So first of all, I'd like to say that often people ask, well, why don't we hear more usually about Srimati Radharani, topics about her? Usually we never hear devotees talk much about her. So the reason is that topics about her are most esoteric. And Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, did not discuss so publicly about Srimati Radharani. And topics about her are meant to be discussed and relished most reverentially among sincere and serious devotees, and on days like today, which we especially love. Shri Radhastami Maha Mahotsav Ki Jai. So first of all, who is Shri Radha or Srimati Radharani? So I'd like to quote a few verses from, mostly from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda. Govinda is another name for Krishna. And she is also the enchantress of Govinda. She is the be-all and end-all of Govinda and the crest jewel of all his consorts. The transcendental goddess, Srimati Radharani, is the direct counterpart, or as our dear god sister Pranada says in her beautiful book, Bhakti Shakti, she says, the counter, Krishna's counter-whole. So I love that. So Krishna, the counter-whole of Lord Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. Lord Krishna enchants the world. Maybe you've heard Krishna is all-attractive. So he enchants the world, but Sri Radha enchants even him. Therefore, she is the supreme goddess of all. Sri Radha is the full power, and Lord Krishna is the possessor of full power. The two are non-different, as evidenced by the revealed scriptures. So in this way, it said that Radha and Krishna are one, but they've taken two forms to enjoy the mellows of pleasure pastimes. Sometimes speculative academic scholars like to criticize our Gaudiya, or this means the tradition coming from Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are here on your left. So sometimes speculative academics like to criticize our understanding coming from Lord Chaitanya, saying that, well, this reverence for Sri Radha is really more recent. It's not mentioned in the original Vedas, but that's not correct. So although her name is rare and confidential in the Vedas, Upanishads, and Tantras, her name is actually mentioned in a verse in the original Rig, Sama, and Atharva Vedas, where Krishna is referred to as the Lord of Radha, Radhanath. Here's the verse, it's short. Stotram Radhanam Pate Girvaho Virayasyate. And the translation is, O hero, Lord of Radha, this kind of stotra, or it means verse, is very befitting your glorification and your opulence, or vibhuti. Let all these statements be true and lovable. Nice verse, huh? Yeah. So isn't it amazing that although the name of Sri Radha is so confidential in the Vedas, that by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, such a rare and extraordinary acharya or great teacher and empowered devotee of Radha and Krishna, on the order of his Guru Maharaj and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that right now in the year 2025, in the middle of the Kali Yuga, the holy names of Radha and Krishna are being chanted on street corners all over the world, right? Jai Srila Prabhupada. So maybe some of you were at the football game the other night. Was it yesterday? And yeah, there was a holy name party, Hari Nam party there at the football game. So you're going for football, but you get the blessings of Radha and Krishna. How beautiful is that, right? So this Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the Hare in there, in the Hare Krishna mantra, is there even more times than Krishna or Rama. And Rama also means Radha Raman, the enjoyer of Sri Radha. So this Hare refers to Sri Radha. It means the divine energy of Lord Hari or Krishna. And yeah, there are more times than either Krishna or Rama. Pretty amazing. So we hear that Sri Radha's name is so confidential, only mentioned in a covered way, even in Srimad Bhagavatam. So yeah, this verse is up there on the screen. This is a verse, Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 30th chapter, 28th verse, spoken by Radharani's dearmost gopi friends. Anya radito nunam Bhagavan Harir Ishwaraha Yanno Vihaya Govinda Pitoyam Anaya Radha. Certainly, this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. So I'm not going to, I'll just read the first paragraph of the purport. Srila Prabhupada quotes one of our great acharyas, Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur, who explains that this word aradita refers to Srimati Radharani, and he comments that sage Sukadeva Goswami has tried with all endeavor to keep her name hidden, but now it automatically shines forth from the moon of his mouth. That he has spoken her name is indeed her mercy, and thus the word aradita is like the rumbling of a kettle drum sounded to announce her great good fortune. Beautiful, huh? Yeah. And so in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Maharaj Parikshit, who is the hearer of Srimad Bhagavatam, he explains to his mother Uttara that if his guru, the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami, had spoken the name of Sri Radha in Srimad Bhagavatam, he might have been so overwhelmed with ecstasy that he could not complete the narration within the limited 7 days allotted time, right? So, yeah, so interesting. Krishna has a parrot who says, Radhe, Radhe.
Radhe, Radhe.
And Sri Radha has a parrot that says, Krishna, Krishna. So some people say that Sri Radha's parrot became Sukadeva Goswami. And some people say that those two parrots combined together to become Sri Sukadeva Goswami. So have you ever heard that when in India this is famous, when a parrot bites into a fruit, his bite makes the fruit more sweet. So the third verse of Srimad Bhagavatam says, this Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures, although already relishable for everyone, even liberated souls, it has become even more sweet, having come from the lips of Sri Sukadeva Goswami. So this Sukha means a parrot. So Sukadeva Goswami, he makes the whatever he speaks more sweet like a parrot. Yeah. So another important point, I think, to speak about on Sri Radhastami is that when Srila Prabhupada was on board the Jaladuta ship, even before setting foot on American soil, he composed a poem called Prayer to the Lotus Feet of Krishna. And in the first stanza, he begs us and he beseeches all of us to take shelter of Srimati Radharani. He says, "Oh, brothers," and I would add, "Oh, sisters, the Supreme Lord Krishna will personally bless you. He says he will become your virtue, your punya." But Prabhupada says, "But he will only do so when Srimati Radharani first becomes pleased with you. This I say to you with complete assurance." So I want to make this important point. Srila Prabhupada prayed to Srimati Radharani before beginning his mission in the West. Therefore, he was successful. So think about that, yeah. So we should also pray for the blessings of Sri Radha before beginning any endeavor if we want to be successful. Srila Prabhupada once said that if you have a prayer, place it in the hand. See how Srimati Radharani is holding her blessing hand up like that? Yeah. If you have a prayer, place it in the blessing hand of Sri Radha, and she will recommend you to Sri Krishna. He said, even if you're a rascal number one, and rascal's a really bad word in India. In America, we have the little rascals. They're really cute, right? But no, in India, it's bad. So he said, even if you are a rascal number one, she will recommend you and plead your case to her own beloved Sri Krishna, telling her, "Krishna, this devotee is better than me. Please accept her. Please accept him." So kind, so merciful. So what about Srila, you know, speaking about understanding Srimati Radharani through the line of Acharyas, great teachers. So what about Srila Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj? What did he say about Sri Radha? There's a story that once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was at Radhakund along with some disciples, and some of his disciples came running to him in amazement that they had seen a very wealthy aristocratic king bowing down and offering dandabat parikram to Giriraj, to the Govardhan Hill. And they were so amazed. And guess what their Guru Maharaj said? This is amazing. He said, "Yes, but the difference between him and us is that he is worshiping Krishna. We are worshiping Sri Radha." Isn't that interesting? And then there's another story about him where he once said that a Vaishnava is someone who worships Vishnu. A Krishnite is someone who worships Krishna. But a Gaudiya is someone who worships Sri Radha. So Radharani is golden. The area of Bengal where Lord Chaitanya came from is called Gaudadesh. But as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we are worshippers of Sri Radha. So what about our great Acharya, the father of Prabhupada's guru, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur? So this is very interesting because in his writings, in his songs, he's very inclusive of all people, all traditions, all different ways of worshiping God. He even says, "Why do you go on hating people who worship differently from the way you worship?" So he's very inclusive. But at the end of his song collection called Gitavali, he becomes not inclusive, but exclusive in his, almost in a madness of his love for Srimati Radharani. So here's what he says. He says, "If the desire for the worship of Radharani does not come about, then this is, as I'm saying, this is exclusive madness," right? He says, "If the desire for the worship of Radharani does not come about, then worship of Krishna is simply useless. Just as one never perceives the sun without the sunlight, so I do not care to regard Madhava without Radha. One who worships Krishna also is imperfect in his knowledge, and one who disrespects Srimati Radharani is simply conceited and proud. You should never associate with such a person if you at all desire the delightful and amorous pastimes of Raja to appear in your heart. If one considers oneself to be a maidservant of Srimati Radharani, then such a person very quickly meets Sri Krishna, the Lord of Gokula. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Narada Muni, the personified Vedas, and Lakshmi Devi honor and worship the dust of Radharani's lotus feet. And in his next song, he instructs his tongue. So here he is preaching to his tongue and to our tongues as well. He says, "Oh, my tongue, you are overwhelmed with the desire for material enjoyment. Please hear my instructions. Always remain deeply absorbed in drinking the nectarian, loving mellows of the divine and beautiful names of Radha and Krishna. The name of Srimati Radharani is ever beautiful and is divine ambrosia. Radhika's name is also very sweet and enchanting and is the abode of complete fulfillment and satisfaction. With great care, you should eagerly mix and blend this ambrosial name of Radhika in the wonderful sweet condensed milk of the name of Krishna. Now add into that mixture the sweet fragrance of love and affection, which is both cool and delightful. With great joy and ecstasy, drink this nectar both day and night." Right, everybody? It's not supposed to be dry. We're supposed to be getting the taste, the higher taste, right? "No longer will there remain on the tongue a thirst for mundane enjoyment, for these wonderful transcendental mellows will fulfill all of your desires." Then he says, "At the lotus feet of Raghunath Das Goswami, Bhaktivinod begs for delight and ecstatic rapture in the hearing and chanting of the divine names of Radha and Krishna." So another one of our great acharyas, Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur, wrote a very charming little book called Prema Samputa, or The Jewel Box of Love, where Srimati Radharani herself describes the jewels of her love for Krishna. And Krishna in disguise is eager to hear Sri Radha decorate him with the jewels of her love. So here's how the story goes. One morning, Krishna appeared in the courtyard of Sri Radha, disguised as a beautiful demigoddess from the heavenly planets. This so-called demigoddess sat down silently in one corner of Radha's courtyard, shining with a beautiful bluish effulgence, shyly covering her face, his face, her face, with a veil. Sri Radha was so stunned seeing this striking young damsel who was illuminating her courtyard with a mysterious sapphire luster. "Who is she? What is her purpose in coming here?" So she sent Lalita and Vishakha to find out, but the newly arrived girl would say nothing in reply. She was pouting. Then out of curiosity, Sri Radha herself came over and inquired from the disguised Krishna. She said, "Oh, melancholy girl, you have certainly come here for some reason. Kindly relieve our curiosity. Consider yourself to be our intimate friend. What are you afraid of, oh girl with a lowered face?" Hearing this, the so-called girl breathed a heavy sigh, seeming to be extremely troubled. She turned her face even further away and remained just as silent. Sri Radha started inquiring from her, "Are you feeling separation from your beloved?" She was asking so many different questions. Sri Krishna, disguised as this demigoddess, made his voice full of enchanting sweetness like a woman's voice and finally said a few words. She said, "I am a devi from the heavenly planets, O lovely-faced one. Please listen to the reason why I have come to you so perplexed. Only you can answer my question." Here it goes. "We celestial demigoddesses have been disturbed by some flute music coming from a small Venu flute whose vibration ascends into the sky and penetrates our heavenly abode. I followed this flute music down to the planet Earth, and I stayed for a few days in the branches of a large Vamsivat tree and watched Sri Krishna's pastimes with you, his confidential lover." Then the disguised Krishna began to criticize Krishna, calling him unfit for Radha's love. "He calls you out to the forest in the dead of night and then tells you all to go home. Then finally he strolls and dances with you all in the forest. Then he just disappears. He is unfaithful. He is a bogus rascal. And you are so innocent, you don't realize what a cheater he is. He has no morality, proper shame, or conduct. Sri Radha was so disturbed hearing this criticism of her Krishna from this so-called demigoddess. She says, "Now you are my friend, and I will show you the jewels of divine ecstatic love I keep inside my heart." And then Sri Radha began to describe her pure love. She said that even those who are learned in all the Vedas cannot understand anything about what pure divine love is. She said that when one's mind is endowed with affection that is purified of all other motives, it can then ascend to the throne of its own natural position and shine brightly there. From this place, one acts only to please one's beloved, and the happiness one feels shows the presence of pure love. Then Sri Krishna, disguised as demigoddess, was thinking, if this prema or divine love is beyond comprehension, then how can Radha properly describe it? And he answered the question in his own mind. Then Radha, he said, Radha is prema personified, that is pure love personified, and her explanation of prema is a revelation of her own self. How else can we speak about prema? So then Sri Radha continued. These are her instructions about pure love. If you're interested in gaining pure love, listen closely. So she says, the miseries of this world are conquered effortlessly by the supremely powerful prema or divine love, which removes all obstacles in its path and is only nourished by those obstacles. Then she says, just as a silky-haired lion sleeps peacefully, unmindful of nearby dogs, and thrives without being disturbed by material distress, she says, she starts calling this demigoddess her friend. She says, Saki, my friend, know for sure that the miseries of this world cannot influence prema. Just as a lamp shines brighter in the darkness, so the glory of prema shines brighter in material affliction. Then she revealed that she and Krishna are one, like two blooms coming from the same stem, or two wicks, like ghee wicks, coming from the same stem. And then the disguised Krishna said, I will believe you if you can make Krishna appear right now. If you are really one with Krishna, just make him appear right now. So then Radha closed her eyes in meditation on Krishna and forced the so-called demigoddess, who's Krishna disguised as a demigoddess, she forced him to give up his disguise. And then he appeared there as himself, Krishna. And the gopis were all looking around. What happened to that beautiful demigoddess that was here a minute ago? So the story goes that once Sri Radha was confiding to her sakis that Shyamasundar loves me a lot. And they asked her, how do you know? And she explained that whatever I want him to do, he does. Whenever I want him to do something, he does it. From this, I guess that he loves me a lot. And the gopis said, well, give us an example of what he did that you wanted. And Radharani remained quiet. And then the gopis were surprised. And they said, well, at least tell us one thing. And Radharani said, that's a big dilemma, actually. The problem is, whatever he does is to my liking. I'm not sure if he does what I like or I like what he does. My mind thinks that what he has done is what I want. So Radha's heart poignantly reveals the non-difference between Radha and Krishna. As is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestation of the Lord's internal potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they have separated themselves eternally. Now these two transcendental identities are again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. And as Lord Chaitanya says in the voice of Sri Radha in the last verse of his Sikshastakam, he says, I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he will always remain as such even if he handles me roughly by his embrace. He makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is a debauchee after all. He is free to do anything and everything, but he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So in conclusion, I'd like to share two beautiful verses from our Prayojana Acharya, Raghunath Das Goswami, the one who teaches us the highest goal of life. So he prays to Sri Radha, but in the voice of his Vrindavan Manjari self as Sri Rati Manjari. The Manjaris are the assistants to the gopis. So he says, Devi Dukha Kula Sagarodare Duyamanam Mati Durgatam Janam Tam Kripa Prabalanokayad Bhutam Prapaya Swapada Pankajalayam. He sprang to Srimati Radharani and he says, O goddess, kindly hear this unfortunate person now drowning in an ocean of pain. Place her in the sturdy boat of your mercy and ferry her to the wonderful realm of your lotus feet. And then he says one more. Tavaivasmi, tavaivasmi, na jivami tvaya vina, iti vigyaya devi tvam na vigyaya nayan mam charanantikam. O goddess Sri Radha, please understand that I am yours always. I am yours. I cannot live without you. Knowing this truth, take me to your lotus feet. So thank you all very much. Shri Radhastami Maha Mahotsav Ki Jai. So I think it's time for the yagya outside.
If you like, you can take one reflection or something.
Okay, someone has a question, comment, reflection, complaint.
Anyone?
Would you like to complain?
It's right here.
It was too short.
Too short. We could speak about the glories of Radharani for many, many days, amen, forever, yeah.
Yeah, I was always wondering about, you know, today's her appearance day, and origin of her appearance. I heard she had showed up on a lotus flower. Like,
yeah.
where's that found? And I just, yeah, that's like my favorite story,
yeah.
But I have no idea.
It's such a favorite story, and I should have talked about that, but let's talk about that. So Krishna's father, Nanda Maharaj, his very best friend in the world is King Vrishabhanu. And King Vrishabhanu and his wife, Kirtida, they were childless for many, many years, and they really, really wanted a child. So one day when he was out in his garden, he saw in the pond a beautiful, shining, golden effulgence coming out of the water, and then he went closer, and it was coming from a lotus, and then he said it was actually coming from a beautiful, shining little girl baby who was sitting in the lotus. So he was so happy because they wanted a child. He brought her home to his wife. They were both so happy, but they were also a little bit sad because this little girl didn't open her eyes. She was apparently blind. She didn't speak. She didn't cry. She didn't open her eyes. But so there was a little sadness mixed with the happiness. But then what happened? You know Narada Muni? He always appears in all the stories. So he appeared, and he had the darshan. He had the... Actually, Radharani gave him her darshan as a kishori, as a young, beautiful goddess, and he privately said many prayers to her. And then, after that private darshan, he told her father, King Vrishabhanu, he said, what you should do is you should have a big birthday party and invite all the neighbors, invite all your friends. So King Vrishabhanu invited everyone from the area, and he invited Nanda Maharaj and his wife, Yashoda, and they brought their little boy, Krishna, who was just a little toddler. And so all the adults were talking, gossiping. You know how it is at the big festival. You're catching up. Oh, how long are you going to be here? You know, all that. And so, but then baby Krishna just crawled up to her cradle, and she had her eyes closed. And he just peeked up into the cradle, and she opened her eyes for the first time. So she did not want to see anything in this world until she had the vision of Krishna. So that's the beautiful pastime of the... Thank you for asking me to... Where is that written? Sorry? Padma Purana. There we go. We have Pran Govinda, who knows everything. Thank you. Yes.
We also hear that she had a brother named Sridhar and a sister named Ananda.
Yeah.
If they didn't have children, when did they appear?
Maybe after. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, Ananga Manjari is an esoteric form of Lord Balaram. She represents the union of Radha and Krishna. In Vrindavan, there's Radhakund and Shyamakund. During the flood season, they come together. And the place where they come together is called the Sangam. And that place represents Ananga Manjari. There's an Ananga Manjari right here in Alachua. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, good. So that's Ananga Manjari. And yeah, Sridham is her brother who looks just like her. So thank you. I think we need to stop maybe. One more comment, question, complaint.
Hare Krishna, can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, the historic messages, the Shruti about Radharani and how to worship her?
From the Rig Veda?
Yes.
It's just a very, very short verse. It's amazing, but people don't realize. It's a very, very short verse that's there in all three of the original Rig, Sama, and Atharva Vedas. That Krishna is called, O Lord of, he's referred to as Radhanath, O Lord of Radha, in the original Vedas. It's a very short verse. It's like a one-line verse. That's all there is. So very confidential. So this is not made up by Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, and the Gaudiya Acharyas. You can have faith in them that they're speaking authentic Vedic knowledge that's very esoteric and hidden from people who don't want to hear in the line of authentic acharyas. These secrets are hidden from them. So, yeah. Is that all right?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for being here on Radhastami.
Jai. Mother Rukmini Devi Dasi ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
This morning. How are you? Thank you. Thank you very much.